BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. We're going to be having a news roundup broadcast as there are so many stories that so many issues that are going on that this kind of gives you a bird's eye view of multiple issues. Lori's been watching the computers and news lines, news feeds and all that's going on here to pull together a number of stories, not to frighten you, but certainly to wake us up to where things are in this world today, to know where things are in our society today. Friends, these things are not presented in order to frighten. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I trust that even as we go through this news roundup today, that will burden your heart for our nation and for our world and how badly this world needs Jesus. Let's begin with some international news here first, and lots of things going on there. From FoxNews.com, North Korea fired what appeared to be a short-range ballistic missile twice today into the sea off its eastern coast in the third round of weapons tests in just over a week, South Korea's military and presidential office said. President Trump had tweeted out, Kim Jong-un and North Korea tested three short-range missiles over the last number of days. These missiles tests are not a violation of our signed Singapore agreement, nor was there discussion of short-range missiles when we shook hands. There may be a United Nations violation, but Chairman Kim does not want to disappoint me with a violation of trust. There's far too much for North Korea to gain. The potential as a country under Kim Jong-un's leadership is unlimited. Also, there is far too much to lose. I may be wrong, but I believe that Chairman Kim has a great and beautiful vision for his country, and only the United States, with me as president, can make the vision come true. He will do the right thing because he's far too smart not to, and he does not want to disappoint his friend, President Trump. Well, that's an exact quote from President Trump's tweets. The Washington Free Beacon reporting that the Trump administration Monday issued new sanctions against the North Korean official who the U.S. accuses of aiding Pyongyang's illicit nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles research programs. This is a sanction against Kim Soo-il, North Korean official tied to the country's weapons program. Also from FoxNews.com, a historic arms control treaty signed three decades ago by President Ronald Reagan and Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev was scrapped after President Trump decided to withdraw today. The move to scrap the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces, that's the INF treaty, comes amid the administration's assessment that Russia was in material breach of the treaty and made no effort to come back into compliance with the agreement, a senior White House official said. The end of this treaty sparks a new global arms race between the two countries, which possesses the world's largest nuclear arsenals. A story that is coming to us today from Pamela Geller, reporting that the United States and Israel successively have carried out a high-altitude hit-to-kill engagement with the co-developed anti-ballistic missile interceptor system in Alaska. The Arrow 3, as she quotes Fox News, the Arrow 3 interceptor missile achieved a major milestone in its development during a successful flight test where the system effectively intercepted a missile target outside the atmosphere. The U.S. Missile Defense Agency said in a statement, Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said at a cabinet meeting Sunday that the Arrow 3 gives his country the ability to act against ballistic missiles fired against us from Iran and from any other location. Pamela Geller also reports that Israel continues to improve and change the lives of millions of people living in impoverished Africa. Next week, Israel to launch a most advanced satellite. It's called the Amos 17. It's going to be launching this Sunday from Cape Canaveral. And this is a communication satellite that will enable those living in the most remote areas of Africa to gain access to television, also to the internet. Well, from Liberty Council, Matt Staver says that the UN Economic and Social Council approved 40-2 a resolution that targets only Israel for alleged violations of women's rights. The UN Council concluded its annual session by ignoring the world's most abusers of women's rights, refusing to pass a single resolution about women in Saudi Arabia or Iran, Pakistan, or Congo, or all of which rank in the top 10 worst countries in the 2018 Global Gender Gap Report that's produced by the World Economic Forum. But no, the UN has instead issued a sanction against Israel, a resolution against Israel. The U.S. and Canada, the only countries that voted against this resolution. The Washington Free Beacon tells us that the Trump administration Wednesday issued sanctions against Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif, formally labeling him a terrorist enabler and blacklisting all of his property assets and investments, according to senior administrative officials. Breitbart reporting that Iran's central bank announced Wednesday that the nation would rename their national currency. They're now going to the Toman, and they're going to be deleting four zeros from its value. The move follows months of intense American sanctions on Iran's oil industry and mimics a similar move that Venezuela had made. As the reevaluation of the currency must pass through dictatorship rubber stamp legislature, it will be confirmed and not be confirmed until a final vote happens in the Iranian parliament. Breitbart also reporting that President Trump announced yesterday that his administration would impose a 10% tariff on the $300 billion of imports from China that have not been subject to new import duties. The new tariff the president described as small and said talks would continue. They will be kicking in on September 1st. Also from the Washington Free Beacon, China aggressively building up nuclear warfighting forces as part of a larger effort to expand power over Asia and globally, according to senior officials of the U.S. Strategic Command. Vice Admiral David Crete, deputy commander of the command, said he is concerned by China's rapidly growing nuclear arsenal when combined with other alarming activities in the South China Sea and elsewhere. Folks, things are building up worldwide. FoxNews.com, President Trump refused to comment Wednesday on reports of the death of Hamza bin Laden. That's the son of the slain al-Qaeda leader, Osama bin Laden, the one who was responsible for the 9/11 terrorist attacks. The president was asked to weigh in. He said, I don't want to comment. Let's see. This is from the Free Beacon. The ISIS terrorist organization threatening to launch new attacks in San Francisco, New York, and London, according to new warning messages posted on the group's social media channels. The messages carried across the internet via the Telegram networking website feature these three cities and call for adherents of the terror group's radical ideology to kill them all, according to copies of the warnings obtained by the Middle East Media Research Institute, a group that monitors jihadi networks. We have a story from Fox Channel 10 out of Phoenix. Officials with the U.S. Department of Justice say two refugees from Somalia arrested in Tucson and accused of providing material support to ISIS terrorists. In a statement, officials said Ahmad Mahad Mohammed and Abdi Yamani Hussein were arrested at Tucson's airport July 26 after the two checked in for their flight to Egypt. According to officials, the two were talking with FBI undercover, who they believed was a supporter of ISIS ideology. In their conversations, both of them revealed that they want to travel overseas in order to fight on ISIS's behalf or to conduct an attack within the United States if they were unable to travel. From townhall.com, according to the indictment of the two men, they started hitting the gym in order to get stronger so they could easily perform beheadings. That's the two just arrested in Tucson. They took to the gym. They wanted to get stronger. Why? So they could easily perform beheadings. Well, we all know the dive that Nike took as it relates to canceling their plans to sell Betsy Ross flag sneakers. And according here to the Florida Family Association, the company has ruled out plans now to update the Nike Pro Hijab. The Wall Street Journal published an article June 19th titled Nike's Release Pro Hijab in Response to Demand for Modest Fashion. The article reports in part that Nike has announced that it is updating its sports hijab head covering with a new design. The sportswear giant became one of the first sportswear companies to add hijabs in 2017, calling the line the Nike Pro Hijab. No to the Betsy Ross flag, yes to the hijab from Nike. From CBS out of Baltimore, Baltimore police investigating after the home of Representative Elijah Cummings broken into early Saturday morning. That was several hours before President Trump tweeted criticizing Cummings and his district, including Baltimore. You no doubt have heard the goings back and forth. The Baltimore murder rate, this is according to the Washington Examiner, is higher than three Central American nations that are driving the border surge by migrants seeking to flee crime and murder back home. Baltimore's murder rate, 56 per 100,000. But you compare that to El Salvador, which is 50 individuals, Guatemala, 22, Honduras, 38, Baltimore at 56 per 100,000. And there's been talk back and forth about using the word infested pertaining to Baltimore. Well, the Daily Caller reports that a video was uncovered Wednesday of Maryland Democratic Representative Elijah Cummings calling his district in Baltimore drug-infested in 1999. The Federalist Papers say that President Trump demanded an investigation into Maryland Representative Elijah Cummings for harassing and bullying Border Patrol. He said his district is considered the worst in the USA, as proven last week during a congressional tour. The border is clean, efficient, and well-run, just very crowded. And then said, why is so much money sent to Elijah Cummings' district when it's considered the worst run and most dangerous anywhere in the United States? He asked, where is all the money going? How much is stolen? Investigate this corrupt mess immediately, he said. From the Hill, President Trump last Friday, signed a sweeping budget deal that increases federal spending, lifts the nation's borrowing limit. The new law suspends the debt ceiling through July of 2021, removing the threat of the default during the 2020 elections, and raises domestic and military spending by more than $320 billion compared to existing law over the next two fiscal years. Senate passed it 67-28. The House was 284-149. Fiscal hawks and some conservative Republicans decried the measure, which is projected to add nearly $2 trillion to the deficit over the next decade. Also today, breaking news, a federal judge, this is from The Hill, a federal judge in Washington, D.C., ruled today against a Trump administration policy that would only allow migrants who enter the U.S. through legal ports of entry to claim asylum. That's the latest blow against the administration's agenda. The U.S. District judge who made the decision was Randolph Moss, an Obama appointee. Speaking of judges, the Senate confirmed 13 judges President Trump chose while America had its eyes on the Democratic primary debates. They confirmed four nominees Tuesday, nine on Wednesday. And according to reports here, this from the Daily Caller, Republicans have confirmed more than 100 Trump court picks since 2017, including Supreme Court Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch, as well as a record number of appellate court judges. We're going to delve into the debates in part right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a Friday news roundup today, and we're going to pick up with several stories. And one of the issues that came up during the debate has to do with who's more abortion, me or you? Back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, before the fall of man, did animals suffer?
Chris, the Bible says at the end of creation week, things were very good. Things would live forever, with no pain or death. With Adam's sin came the wages of sin. But evolutionists believe that animals lived and died long ago. In fact, the dinosaurs went extinct before man even got here. And yet some of them lived with great pain. A recent discovery of a T-Rex fossil shows this. This dinosaur was quite old when it died. Earlier, it had suffered a broken leg and broken ribs, which had healed. It lived in terrible pain. Now, I don't think that this pain is the result of creation. It's the result of sin. It's certainly not very good, as God pronounced his completed creation back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, are you praying for the upcoming election? You say, Jim, that's so far away. It's next November 2020. Keep in mind, caucuses, primaries will be starting just after the first of the year, just 6 months away, less than 6 months away now, the first primaries and caucuses are going to be held. And much is going on, of course, with the second debates being held this past week. The Hill tells us that former Vice President Joe Biden told reporters Thursday it was bizarre that the other 2020 Democratic contenders attacked Obama administration policies during Wednesday's presidential debate. He said, "I was a little surprised at how much incoming there was about Barack, about the president," Biden said. The former Attorney General, Eric Holder, has warned the presidential contenders about attacking the Obama policies. But one of the issues that came up in the debate has to do with abortion. Now, abortion was not a major issue in the debates. That this really upsetting Planned Parenthood. Matter of fact, LifeNews.com has an article about Planned Parenthood upset that Democrats didn't spend more time celebrating abortion. I mean, think about it. There was the nation's largest abortion action arm said the debates hardly broached abortion, devoting a mere 5 minutes to the topic. Isn't that something? Hey, you only devoted 5 minutes to baby killing. You need to do much more than that. And then you have, as also from LifeNews.com, Kamala Harris, not pandering to voters but to abortion industry individuals. She slammed fellow Democratic candidate Joe Biden for only recently supporting taxpayer-funded abortions. Basically, in that exchange, that, you know, I'm more pro-abortion about this whole thing than you are. When, you know, why, what took you so long? Well, the candidates went back and forth around the Hyde Amendment that prohibits taxpayer-funded elective abortions and Medicaid. Joe Biden once supported the amendment, but I'd like you to listen in briefly to that exchange as it unfolded.
I never believed it.
Thank you. Okay. Senator Harris, please respond.
Well, I just, talk about now running for president and you change your position. On the Hyde Amendment, Vice President, where you made a decision for years to withhold resources to poor women to have access to reproductive health care, and including women who were the victims of rape and incest. Do you now say that you have evolved and you regret that? Because you've only, since you've been running for president this time, said that you in some way would take that back, or you didn't agree with the decision that you made over many, many years. And this directly impacted so many women in our country. And I personally prosecuted rape cases and child molestation cases. And the experience that those women have, those children have, and that they would then be denied the resources.
Thank you, Senator. Let the Vice President respond,
I think is unacceptable.
The fact is that the Senator knows that's not my position. Everybody on the stage has been in the Congress, and the Senator House has voted for the Hyde Amendment at some point. The Hyde Amendment in the past was available because there was other access for those kinds of services provided privately. But once I wrote the legislation making sure that every single woman would in fact be, have an opportunity to have health care paid for by the federal government, everyone, that could no longer stand. I support a woman's right to choose. I support it's a constitutional right. I've supported it. I will continue to support it. And I will in fact move as president to see to that the Congress legislates that is the law.
Thank
as
you.
Well.
Thank
why
you,
did
Mr.
it take
president
you so long to your change response? Your position on the Hyde Amendment? Why did it take so long until you were running for president to change your position on the Hyde Amendment?
Because there was not full federal funding for all reproductive services prior to this point.
Okay.
Folks, this election is really going to be a decider on this issue of life and how we value life or devalue life. Again, I trust you're going to be and are praying regarding the 2020 elections. From LifeNews.com, not only did NBC debate moderators give California Senator Kamala Harris, by the way, that clip from CNN, not only did they give Kamala Harris extra time during its June debate, it turns out 12 executives from NBC Universal and parent company Comcast gave her campaign cash as well. NBC's moderators broke their own debate rules by giving Harris more time than she was supposed to get, some of which was used to attack former Vice President Joe Biden and accuse him. The FEC data included March and April 2019 donations, raising concerns about potential conflicts of interest. Five news-related executives were of particular concern, including three executives who provided oversight to NBC News and two others who are in charge of Comcast political advertising sales. Interesting, indeed. By the way, from CNSNews.com, the U.S. economy is collapsing, according to Joe Biden, collapsing because of President Donald Trump. That's what former Vice President Joe Biden declared yesterday. The next day, today, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported employment set a record high in July. Speaking to reporters on Thursday, Biden claimed that the nation's economy and soul are collapsing because of Trump. Well, the unemployment rate at 3%, I understand, 3.7% for July. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics also reported that the employment level for black Americans aged 16 and over seasonally adjusted was set at a record level in July. That's the highest number recorded by the BLS since it started tallying the data in 1972. Another interesting story from Charisma News. And that is a group of witches who support Democratic presidential candidate Marianne Williamson created an occult task force. An anonymous source told the Washington Post that 13 witches, chaos magicians, and energy workers did gestures in an effort to get Williamson more speaking time in Tuesday's Democratic presidential debate. Witches supporting Democratic candidate Marianne Williamson create this occult task force. Let's go to thenewamerican.com. On Tuesday, the California governor, Gavin Newsom, signed legislation that would require any candidate running for the U.S. presidency to release his or her five most recent tax returns to be included on the ballot in the state. The law is a direct challenge to current President Donald Trump, who's been reticent to release his own tax records. If allowed to stand, the law would effectively remove President Trump from California's ballot in the 2020 primary or general election unless he releases his last 5 years of tax returns. From FoxNews.com, a federal judge in frank terms has dismissed a lawsuit by the Democratic National Committee against key members of the Trump campaign and WikiLeaks over hacked DNC emails, saying they did not participate in any wrongdoing, obtaining the materials in the first place, and therefore bore no legal liability for disseminating the information. Judge John Kettle, a Bill Clinton appointee, wrote his 81-page opinion Tuesday that the DNC's argument was entirely divorced from the facts. The DNC filed suit in April of 2018. From townhall.com, during congressional testimony back in 2017, fired FBI Director James Comey admitted to leaking potentially classified memos about his conversations with President Trump. He said he gave them to a friend who gave them then to the New York Times. Well, it turns out that Comey kept those memos at his home. And when he was fired from his position in May of 2017, a number of FBI agents were sent to his home to retrieve them. Government watchdog Judicial Watch dug up the information as part of a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, which also shows that Comey claimed two other memos were missing. Fox News says that the Justice Department decided against prosecuting Comey for leaked classified information following a referral from the department's inspector general's sources familiar with the deliberations had told Fox News. Interesting story here coming to us from CNSNews.com. As the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling for the amending of the First Amendment, we need to limit political speech. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has determined there is too much political speech in the U.S. coming from sources that he cannot abide. So he stood in front of the Supreme Court on Tuesday, along with Senate Minority Whip Dick Durbin, to announce that he is backing Democratic New Mexico Senator Tom Udall's proposal to amend the First Amendment. Congress, it says, shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Well, Schumer and Udall do not like this sweeping restraint on government power. They are speakers whose speech they want to abridge. The Bill of Rights, as correctly interpreted by the U.S. Supreme Court, stands in their way, so they're seeking to change it. Specifically, they're concerned about the 5-4 decision by the Supreme Court in the Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission. that Americans enjoy free speech not only when they're as individuals, but also when they form corporations. In other words, you can have a filmmaking company that has the same right to free speech that its owners individually do, a book publishing company or a company that manufactures lawnmowers or fishing rods. You know, they can let their view be heard. And Schumer says this principle is gravely wrong. He's saying, if I get to be majority leader with the help of my colleagues here and all of you, Citizens United, will go, it must. They want to amend the First Amendment. From the Hill, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo Wednesday signed a bill into law that banned local school districts from allowing teachers to bring guns to school. These measures, now keep in mind, the vast, vast, vast majority of shootings and mass shootings happen in gun-free zones. And Governor Cuomo wants to continue that, saying these measures will help slow the proliferation of guns by keeping unneeded firearms out of school zones and helping to ensure unwanted or illegal guns don't fall into dangerous hands. President Trump had endorsed NRA's backed proposals to arm teachers after the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shootings that left 17 dead. Let's go to FoxNews.com. That is a New York State lawmaker said Thursday he's joining with other lawmakers to propose a bill that would make dousing police officers with water a felony offense. He's saying to other of his Democratic colleagues, basically put your money where your mouth is. He is putting forth legislation to do that, speaking against what has transpired in New York. LifeSiteNews.com, if you believe that the computer engineer arrested on Monday for stealing the data of 106 million Capital One Bank customers is female, it's likely because mainstream media is using his preferred pronoun, she. They state, as a matter of biological fact, Paige Thompson is a 33-year-old man from Seattle who posted on Twitter a selfie of himself wearing false eyelashes before gun-toting FBI agents raided his home. Despite this, Thompson has been referred to as a woman and as she by numerous mainstream news sources, including the New York Times, CNN, CBS News, and Bloomberg. Out of Los Angeles, ChristianNews.net has the story, a drag queen from California who identifies as gender fluid has announced his run for the U.S. Congress and is vying in his drag persona for the congressional seat of Democratic Representative Andrew Schiff. The candidate, who goes by the stage name Maybe a Girl, told people, I'm going to run as an election, going to run this to, I'm doing this to run an election and win it. Maybe, that's M-A-E-B-E, Maybe already was elected in April to serve on the local neighborhood council. He uses his drag name in office and says that he has decided to likewise run for Washington in drag because, quote, I have a more powerful voice when I'm in drag, as people can't ignore you. By the way, Gillette ran an infamous toxic masculinity ad during the Super Bowl, casting men as sexist bullies, followed by one in which they have a father teaching a girl who's transitioning to be a man how to shave. The February ad prompted an immediate backlash against Gillette, those saying we're not going to use Gillette products anymore. Now, Procter & Gamble, P&G, is reporting a net loss of $5.24 billion for the second quarter due to an $8 billion non-cash write-down of Gillette, according to Reuters. We'll have a few more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network on a News Roundup Friday.
Relationships have been shattered due to lack of forgiveness. It's impacted marriages, parents and children, siblings, and even church families as a whole. Some have said that forgiveness is the most difficult commandment we are given as Christians. Why is that? Perhaps it is because it strikes at the core of our pride that says we deserve better than we are getting. Perhaps it seems if we forgive, we are letting that person win in a situation that hurts us in some way. In the book, Forgiven People Forgive, Pastor Jeff Miller shows us where the rubber meets the road. At the heart of why we should forgive is the fact that God has forgiven us and we are commanded to forgive. It's easy for bitterness to take root in a heart that is unforgiving. Forgiven People Forgive is available for a donation of $6 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for Forgiven People Forgive. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. A special note to those of you in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Sheboygan, Wisconsin. This coming Monday, your Common Council is going to be voting on whether or not to ban so-called conversion therapy on minors. It would make it illegal for paid counselors to give advice to teens or counsel any minor against same-sex attractions. Matter of fact, one council member, this would be a Alderman Ryan Sorensen said this. He said, "We definitely agree Sheboygan needs to be a leader on this, too, to show that we're not going to tolerate child abuse." Can you imagine that? Using the term child abuse to one who gives counsel to young people on how to be free from same-sex attraction or how to be free from going down the road in which you have the confusion, dysphoria as to being a girl when you're biologically a boy. This coming Monday night, the Sheboygan Common Council going to vote on that. For listeners in Sheboygan, there will be a special on the station at 5:30 this evening on that very issue. Looking at other news from NBC, a group of Virginia Republicans tried but failed to censure a GOP congressman for what they considered a failure to uphold the party's values by officiating a gay couple's wedding. The Roanoke Times reported that the 5th Congressional District Republican Committee held a closed session on Saturday to discuss reprimanding Representative Denver Riggleman. Committee member Wendell Johnson introduced a motion to express formal disapproval of his act for failing to uphold the Republican Party platform on same-sex marriage. In a statement Monday, a spokesman said Riggleman was happy to officiate a same-sex ceremony. Disney's back in it again. ChristianPost.com tells us that Disney Channel series Andy Mack has made history by depicting the network's first teenage homosexual couple. Season 3 finale of the series aired on July 26. From USANews.com, a children's hospital in Ohio has opened a new multidisciplinary center that will provide specialized gender-affirming care for young transgender and LGBTQ plus patients. Dr. Crystal Cole, medical director of the Center for Gender-Affirming Medicine at Akron Children's Hospital, said, "We've always treated youths who identify as transgender. By offering the care and support these patients need in location closer to home, we're helping them to have a better quality of life." LifeSiteNews.com, this year, every single Major League Baseball team will have hosted a Pride Night except for the Houston Astros and Texas Rangers, although both of those teams have held homosexual Pride events previously. This year, the first time. Also, LifeSiteNews.com, a new study recently published by the Journal of Medical Ethics reinforced what many claim to be obvious, yet LGBT activists intensely deny that men who identify as women enjoy significant physical advantages over actual biological women. The paper by New Zealand bioethicists Taryn Knox and Lindley Anderson, psychologist Allison Heather, recognizing that trans women, that's biological males who identify as women, retain some performance advantage from male biological characteristics, and say, quote, "We conclude that the advantage to trans women afforded by the IOC guidelines is an intolerable unfairness," the paper's abstract says. LifeSiteNews.com, the mayor in the town of Nevada speaking out against a local library's decision to host a drag queen story hour, detailing his unsuccessful efforts to block the event. When Sparks Mayor Ron Smith caught wind that the Washoe County Public Library would be hosting one of the events, he was outraged. He said, "Why would you have transgender people talking to kids?" Smith said he was concerned about reports of how drag queens have conducted themselves in similar events across the country, insufficient background checks leading children to being placed near convicted sex offenders. Well, despite the mayor's efforts, the event took place July 20th, drew hundreds of attendees, according to KOLO. In Kentucky, you'll want to make note of this, the LifeNews.com, Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin blasted his Democratic opponent Thursday for accepting blood money from a local abortion practitioner. Bevin, who's a Republican with a strong pro-life record, running for re-election against the state attorney general, Andy Beshear, a pro-abortion Democrat. In 2017, Beshear refused to defend Kentucky law that protects unborn babies from abortions after 20 weeks. Then this summer, Beshear accepted campaign money from Kentucky abortionist Ernest Marshall and his wife, according to WKYT. Marshall runs the only abortion clinic in Kentucky, EMW Women's Center in Louisville. He used to run a second abortion facility in Lexington, but his administration shut it in 2016 for health violations. Speaking of abortion, LifeNews.com tells us Leroy Carhart, one of the openly practicing late-term abortionists in the United States, in a recent interview with the BBC program Panorama, candidly admitted that he kills babies and has no problem doing so, even after they're viable. Carhart aborts unborn babies all the way up to birth at his late-term abortion facility in Bethesda, Maryland, also aborts unborn babies in Nebraska. Unlike many other abortion activists, Carhart uses the word baby, too. Carhart claimed that he aborts viable late-term unborn babies only for serious health reasons, but admitted that he defines health very loosely. Kansas. You may have seen the news. Kansas Supreme Court Chief Justice Lawton Nuss and Associate Justice Lee Johnson announced they're retiring from the court. These announcements come just months after creating this radical, unrestricted right to abortion and allowing the live dismemberment of preborn babies in Kansas to continue, reports LifeNews.com. These justices opened the door to late-term taxpayer-funded abortion. In Wisconsin, conservative-backed Judge Brian Hagedorn was sworn into the Wisconsin Supreme Court for a 10-year term yesterday, replacing Shirley Abrahamson. This puts the Wisconsin Supreme Court at a 5-2 in favor of conservatives. I'd like to open the phone lines here today in Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on one of these or other current event news stories, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Again, if you'd like to comment on these stories or other current event news, 800-733-9829. LifeSiteNews.com tells us on Tuesday, Republican Senators Roger Wicker and Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi have reintroduced legislation that would prohibit the federal government from spending tax dollars on embryo-destructive research and instead support the use of stem cells from ethical sources. It's S-2308. It's the latest version of Wicker's Patients First Act. Directs the federal government to prioritize stem cell research funding in terms of potential for near-term clinical benefits in human patients. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Oh, from the Daily Mail, human organs will be growing inside animals after Japanese scientists get government permission to bring hybrid embryos to full term. Researchers have finally been given a green light to start making animal-human hybrids. Scientists based in Tokyo have been given the Japanese government's approval to grow hybrid embryos to be brought to full term. The controversial experiment will be used to try and farm human organs inside living animals for transplant, potentially creating an unlimited supply. But there's concern. Scientists won't be able to control how much of the animal becomes human and fears that brains could develop like people's. Amazing, folks, what is taking place. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Let's begin in Tomah, Wisconsin. James, you're on the air.
They're talking about the growing of organs inside of animals. This is something they've been doing for a long time. They're just going to human organs now. The Bible says something very specific about that. When you want to combat the darkness, you got to hit it with the light. And it says very specifically, you're not to take one kind and breed it with another. That's an abomination to God. And there's a reason why it's an abomination to God. We're going to see the results very, very soon.
Thank you, James, for your comment here today. Let's go to Claudia in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You're on the air, Claudia.
Yes, I was calling about all of the stories, but...
Claudia, could I have you turn your radio down, please? Your volume is coming through, and the delay is very, very confusing.
I turned it down.
Great, thank you.
I'm concerned that specifically about all of this, I call it the XYZ community. We are getting away from the principles of what this country was founded on. And to specifically harming unborn children is appalling.
Mm-hmm.
It's appalling to think that your child in elementary school is being given information about all of this XYZ stuff when they are not psychologically equipped to make any decisions such as that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you choose to do that, then when you're 21 and you have reached an age where you can psychologically process all of this,
yeah.
Then maybe you can think about that. But to take children without their parents' consent and having them have medical procedures on them.
Yeah, and that was much our discussion yesterday with Dr. Michelle Critella, and it is truly alarming what is going on, the twisting and the manipulation of these young minds that cannot even grasp that. And thank you, Claudia, for making your point today. We do need to move on to other callers. Nancy is calling in from Cookeville, Tennessee. Nancy, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. You know, talking about the Democratic primaries coming up and what they were standing for, and it seems like the main agenda is abortion, which really has no welfare for our country that we live in. And I really think as Christian people that listen to this radio station and all that we can talk to in our country, we need to be praying for all of these people because that is murder. It is not killing. It is murder. Killing would be going into war with another country and having to kill somebody even when you don't want to. But murder is murder, and it's wrong. And all the people that say it's right for women's health, I am a woman. I have three wonderful children, and I can tell you that it's murder, and that is not women's health care.
Right.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Nancy. And this is something that has repeatedly been said over and over. Abortion is not health care. When you take the life of another, that is not health care, folks. It is not health care. And, you know, the turmoil that's going on in Planned Parenthood because the last director that they had was not abortion enough. And we're not going to kill, you know, not enough emphasis on the killing of babies. We got a problem here. And so that renewed emphasis is very much upon them. A quick 60-second break, and then we'll be back to more phone calls here. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Anti-Semitism is rising. That's provable. In fact, many secular websites and many secular news agencies are reporting on the incredible rise of anti-Semitism, not only in Europe, but also in America. In fact, now we have members of Congress, one of them, Omar, from Minnesota, from Somalia, who declares the most racist comments about the Jews one could ever read. And yet, has the unmitigated gall to turn around and declare that we, Americans, are the racist. Why? Because we believe in national sovereignty. borders, vetting people from known terrorist organizations and states and nations. And yet, this is exactly the playbook of the cultural Marxist that I've been warning about for years. More details can be found in 1 hour free docu-movie, sabotagethemovie.com. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and taking your calls here today at 800-733-9829. We're going to Beloit, Wisconsin, and Steve, you're on the air.
Jim, it was a shock to me to read in the news today about Joshua Harris and his departure from the faith. As big a role of influence as he had in the homeschool movement, I read his book, I Could Saving Goodbye, and I thought, wow, this is a powerful book. It's a book I determined I wanted to read. Like, I thought, it's such a blessing to me, just the good theology and his approach towards God and love for God. It broke my heart to read how he walked away from
the faith. Indeed. And thank you, Steve, for making that comment. And indeed, here's the headline, Preacher of Purity Hangs It Up, I'm Not a Christian. And this is just a couple of weeks ago, Josh Harris, who wrote that book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, he announced his marriage of 21 years was over. And this is OneNewsNow.com. And last week, he also left the Christian faith, saying, quote, I have undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus. By all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian. Many people tell me there is a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I'm not there now, he posted on Instagram last Friday. He also said, I regret standing against marriage equality for not affirming you and your place in the church and for any ways that my writing and speaking contributed to a culture of exclusion and bigotry, as he addressed the LGBTQ plus community, apologizing for his views on sexuality that he taught in his books. And while a pastor, ladies and gentlemen, this is a man in need of prayer. And Steve, thank you so much for raising the issue. Amanda in Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. As far as this demonic movement, and that's what I will call it because I know it's called the homosexual movement, but it is a demonic movement. I believe that the answer that everyone's looking for is in chapter 1 of Romans 18 through 32. Being 32 would finally tell what's going to happen. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And, you know, we do have a way out of that, but we have to go through Jesus. This man, he you spoke of before I called, he has turned against Christ, and Lord help him. It's just sad because I know there's a point in here where if you're enlightened, you can't come back. You become reprobate. And I pray for this man that he hasn't come to that point. But, you know, as in Romans chapter 12, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good.
Yeah.
I have heard many, many times God is love, and yes, he is, but God is also just, and he does not stand for evil. He loves the sinner, but he does not love the sin.
Amen. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Appreciate you sharing that. Bye-bye. Kyle is calling from Phoenix, Arizona, and Kyle, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wanted to comment on the abortions and transgenderism, all of the sexual immorality and the sin in our nation, you know. We've seen wickedness from the beginning, from the fall, and ultimately, we as Christians need to still love these people while upholding the truth, and that is really the challenge that I think we struggle with on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And we hear these news, and we're quick to judge, but at the same time, we need to be quick to love, too, and even though it can be hard.
Yeah, and Kyle, certainly we love to the point of wanting to share the gospel because we know the Lord can change that heart of stone and can melt that hard heart. And certainly that is our prayer, that people come to faith in Jesus Christ as Savior.
Yeah.
And he uses us as his instruments to do that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. And indeed, that is the aspect of being salt and that of being light, sharing the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Remember that. Jesus didn't come to heal the well. He came to heal the sick. He came to bring sinners to repentance. I do want to close today with a story that I trust will turn into a prayer request for you to remember as well. The story here gripped my heart and wanted to share it with you. It is a story that came from faithwire.com. Tragedy struck a young newlywed couple Tuesday when the husband and an aspiring pastor drowned at a Florida beach. This is the story of Dalton Cottrell, his wife Cheyenne, enjoying their honeymoon at Crescent Beach in St. Augustine, Florida, when they decided to venture out into the water for a swim. According to the St. Johns County Sheriff's Department, Dalton quickly found himself struggling in the water as the current swept both of them out into the ocean. As Cheyenne attempted to rescue her husband, he began to panic and instinctively began to pull her underwater. After being submerged underwater for about a minute, Hedick and her husband surfaced momentarily, at which point she saw his eyes roll back in his head. Beachgoer William Loy heard the couple's cry for help, immediately alerted the lifeguard. Cottrell was dragged out to the beach, but he was unconscious. Despite efforts to save him, including CPR, the young adult was confirmed dead at a local hospital a short time later. 3 days of wedded bliss turned into a nightmare very quickly for the Cottrell family, as well as my own, said Cheyenne Cottrell, as she wrote on Facebook July 31st. Her post continued yesterday afternoon. While at the beach, the Lord decided to call my husband Dalton to come home to him. There is so much fear and uncertainty coursing through myself. My parents came down early this morning to be with me as I begin the next journey. Never did I think at 22 I would be a wife and then a widow so quickly. Please pray for I and all the families as we grieve. Right now, there is no details for a funeral, but we know over the next several days. I love you so much, Dalton Cottrell. Both Dalton and Cheyenne were seniors at Faith Baptist Bible College and Theological Seminary in Ankeny, Iowa. In a statement on the tragedy, the school noted that the pair had been married on Saturday in Kansas City. Dalton was from Malcolm, Iowa, was a pastoral training major, a junior class representative for the Student Association. He and Cheyenne had recently completed their junior years at Faith, the school said. The school's president, Dr. Jim Tillotson, added that he recently lost his mom in a tragic accident. With that experience fresh in my mind, Tillotson said that it was not advice that I needed, but love, prayers, and support, and urged the same for loved ones linked to the tragedy, encouraging the people to be praying for them. Let's go heavy on love and light on advice. It is moments like this that Eagle Nation means the most, referring to their school. May we do all we can to support all of them through this difficult time. And we would just encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to be praying for this grieving family at this time. A student in Bible college at Faith Baptist Bible College preparing to go into the pastoral ministry, now at home with the Lord. We never know what a day brings forth. Scripture says our life is but a vapor. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You never know what the next moment is going to bring. Oh, my friends, don't delay. Trust Jesus as your Savior today. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.